Shalom, this is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Brit Am Broadcasting Israel, speaking to you on behalf of Kosher 101.9 Radio Around the World, which goes out from Carlsbad, New Mexico. We ourselves speak to you from Jerusalem. We are now engaged in a short talk concerning the stages of redemption, how the Israelites will be redeemed in the end times. A good portion of prophecy speaks about that, and we could go through each one prophet by prophet, quote verse upon verse, and the commentaries, and give you insights, the insights of others on this. But at present, we're going to just leave it off for a couple of verses and see what a famous rabbi said on these verses, and see how this opinion of his ties in with what is going on today and with the findings of our research in other fields. We at Brit Am believe that the lost 10 tribes, the majority of the tribes of Israel, who got lost, who lost knowledge of their identity, who were exiled by the Assyrians and disappeared, they were no longer aware of who they were, of who their ancestors were, as most peoples of the world today are not aware of who their ancestors were. They had lost their religion, they had lost respect for their religion, they had become idolaters, gone in the ways of the pagans, they no longer believed in the Bible, no longer followed after biblical laws. And they were taken away by the Assyrians and replanted in other areas where they were subject to the foreign influences, and allied themselves with other peoples and participated in the culture of these peoples. So they lost knowledge of who they were. This happens. It happens quite often in history. There's nothing unusual about this. At all events, this was what was prophesied would happen to them. It was predicted that such would happen to them, that this is what would happen to them. And there was a reason for it. There's a divine purpose for it. The Almighty had his own reasons. Divine providence had a goal for these Israelites to fulfill. We have proven, and in these present talks that we were giving now, and in articles on our website, and in books and magazines that we have published, we have given abundant evidence, and others have also given evidence in this direction, that the Lost 10 Tribes are now to be found amongst Western peoples. Especially amongst those of the British Isles and North America, but this includes the people of Ireland, Wales, Scotland and England, their descendants in North America, Australia, New Zealand and South Africa, and also in Holland, France, and along the coastline of Northern Europe, up into and including Scandinavia. That is where the Lost 10 Tribes, or the majority of the Lost 10 Tribes today, are to be found. The prophets spoke of them. The prophets also told us what would happen in the end times. And one verse in particular is in Isaiah 56:8. Incidentally, if you're looking for background material and written notes for these talks, you should go to our website, www.britam.org. And there you'll find an abundance of articles and of written materials and research proofs concerning this subject. If you go to the left-hand side on our website, you will see biblical proofs identifying the Lost 10 Tribes. That is an important source. Scroll down a little bit and you'll come to Bible studies and commentary. Click on it. This takes you to a list of biblical studies. Scroll down, right down, until the end of this heading, you'll come to the heading Stages of Redemption in Isaiah and Hosea. Click on it, and that will bring you to written proof to the text upon which this present talk is based. You see there that Isaiah in 56 verse 8 says, "The Lord God which gathereth the outcasts of Israel saith, Yes, will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him." He says, In other words, he's speaking of ingathering the outcasts of Israel. He says, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. In other, there will be several stages. First, some will be gathered in, then others will be added onto them. That is what the verse is saying. Rabbi Zvi Kalisha was a famous rabbi in the last century. He was one of the important Zionist rabbis in the early times before the establishment of the State of Israel. He saw the coming events that were about to take place, and he was all for the establishment of a Zionist entity, of a state in the land of Israel for the Jewish people. And he understood this verse to be saying that at first the Jews, in other words, Judah, the Jews are represented by Judah in prophecy, they will return and they will prepare the land, they will build up the land. And ultimately it will be able to support a great community. Then part of the lost ten tribes will return, together with other Jews from Judah, and they will rebuild the third temple. And then we have the third stage. And then the remainder, a numerically greater part of the lost ten tribes, will also come back. The lost ten tribes will have a leader. His leader is referred to in Jewish tradition as the Messiah, son of Joseph, as distinct from the Messiah, son of David, who will head the Jews. So in the end times, we have as if to say two Messiahs, the Messiah, son of Joseph, and the Messiah, son of David. This is not a great deal. The concept of Messiah in Hebrew is not such a big deal as some people try and make it. Messiah comes from the Hebrew Mashiach, which means anointed. It just means someone who is appointed for a certain task. And in the end times, there will be a descendant of David who will fulfill the task of David, and he will lead the Jewish people. And there will also be a descendant of Ephraim who will lead the lost ten tribes, and he will be referred to as Messiah, son of Joseph, since Joseph will be the major portion, or the leading portion amongst the ten tribes. And the two halves of the Israelite people will reunite, and Mashiach, son of Joseph, will work together with Mashiach, son of David, and eventually Mashiach, son of David, will rule over all of them. Each one will have his own task to play in the end times, and this is what is predicted would happen. Rabbi Zvi Kalisha explained the verse to say that in the beginning will be gathered many of the outcasts of Israel. Many of the outcasts of Israel, many of those who have been exiled or dispersed of Israel will be gathered together, but not all of them, but a good portion. After that, we'll have the war of Gog and Magog. And so too, more Israelites will be gathered in, and these will be from the lost ten tribes who were exiled by the Assyrians. He says, he points out that if all of them had have come back all at once, at one time, the land would not have been able to absorb them. But if in the meantime Judah and later a portion of the Israelites came back and built up the land and developed the land, incidentally the land stretches from the Nile to the Euphrates, they will be able to prepare the infrastructure, so to say, for the lost ten tribes and the other rest of the Jews to return. At present there are 5 million Jews in the land of Israel and about 6 million Jews outside the land of Israel, maybe 10 or more million people who are Jews by ancestry in recent times, could still trace their ancestry scattered around here and there in addition to those. And then we have a few hundred million people whose ancestors were Israelites, and these people belong to the 10 tribes of Israel. Eventually a good portion of all of these peoples will return to the Middle East. They will renovate the land and ecologically rehabilitate it, and they will build it up again. In Hosea chapter 6, he also speaks on this matter. He says, for instance, we have Hosea 6:2, after 2 days will he revive us, in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. In the third day he shall raise us up, it says. This, according to Rashi and the rabbis, is referring to the rebuilding of the third temple. He goes further down, we have 6:11. Also, Judah has set a harvest for thee, when I return the captivity of my people. Judah has set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. In other words, according to Rabbi Kadisha, as he explained this verse as saying that we have to see it in the context. He's speaking of Ephraim. In other words, Ephraim, who frequently in biblical passages represents all of the 10 tribes of Israel. And often today, the Israelites, descendants of Israelites in North America and elsewhere, who identify themselves as being descended from the lost tribes of Israel, they often refer to themselves as Ephraimites, due to Ephraim being not only a major tribe amongst the 10 tribes, but also in scripture representing all of the tribes together. He says, Hosea, in this same chapter, says Rabbi Kadisha, Hosea says that in the third day he will raise us up, referring to the building of the third temple. And he quotes Rashi. After that, the prophet continues and says, O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? And he continues in the same vein, until he comes to the point which we have touched upon in 6:11, Judah has set a harvest for you when I will have returned the captivity of my people. That is prior to the coming of a great community, Judah. That is, the Jews will prepare a harvest, supplies, and will prepare an infrastructure for Ephraim. And after that, there will be a great ingathering. And after that, indubitably, will come the first Messiah, the Messiah son of Joseph, who heads Ephraim, who heads the 10 tribes. And he will rule in Jerusalem. Sometime later will arrive Gog and Magog, who will wage war against Israel. And Israel will be saved. And then Israel, all of the Israelites, will be ruled over by the head, Mashiach, son of David, the descendant of David. And it says in Zechariah 14:9, in that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. And in Zephaniah 3:9, it says, for then I will return to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Now, this is a point. There's a point here which my friend Israel Feld, who's a brother of Rabbi Abraham Feld. Israel Feld is a good friend of mine, and he used to discuss these passages with me. Together we came to the conclusion, or rather Israel pointed it out, we could say he initiated this insight of ours, to that originally you had an arousal amongst the Jewish people. You had an arousal amongst the Jewish people to return to and build up the land. The Jews always tried to get back to the land of Israel after they had been exiled. But it was under the Arabs, and then it was under the Turks, and it was inhospitable, and it was very difficult. The Jews kept coming back. In the 1880s, or even before then, there was an arousal in Europe, and a good portion of many Jews did start coming back. Religious Jews came back to Sfat and to Jerusalem, and they started building up the country. One stage there were even the majority of the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and then you also had the secular Zionists also came back and started building it up. And after that you had the First World War, in which the Turks caused a good portion of the Jews who were in Israel to leave it, who were in what was then called Palestine. They were forced to leave. But in the course of the First World War, the ownership, or the rule over the land, the rulership over the land changed. The British became the rulers, and they put forward the Balfour Declaration, which was confirmed by the League of Nations. And from that, the State of Israel developed. Together with this, there was also arousal amongst the Jews, which led to the State of Israel. There was also an arousal amongst the Americans, and amongst the French, especially amongst the British, who also began to push for the establishment of a country which would be Jewish in the land of Israel, in the land which was in Palestine. There's a book about it by The Vision Was There by Franz Kobler, UK 1956. It's on our website. can download it for free, the entire book. It's very interesting. And this explains in some detail how the British thought the lines along which the British thought, and the major proponents of this restoration principle, which is in effect Zionism, British Zionism. The parallel to British Zionism, and it quotes from them how they also wanted the Jews to re-establish a state in the land of Israel, and they pushed for it, and afterwards they helped the Jews set up the land of Israel, and the land of Israel was set up. After the land of Israel was established, the British backed out to some degree. The French helped, and then the Americans took over, and the Americans helped. And things are as they are now. America is helping Israel more than any other country in the world. In fact, in the United Nations all the time, they are every day, not every day, but quite frequently, they are coming out with new declarations against the State of Israel and having votes against the State of Israel and so on. And it's usually only the USA and maybe one or two other countries influenced by the USA who stand for the the State of Israel, who protect the State of Israel and champion its cause. And also the USA gives us large sums of money and large sums of aid and backing in the international sphere in many different ways, economic encouragement. It helps the State of Israel maintain itself. And the State of Israel does it. The State of Israel does it, and it is quite a good job. Under the circumstances, and it has, these Jews in Israel have one of the strongest countries in the world in a military sense, and their scientific and cultural achievements are something to be proud of. And today in the State of Israel, more Torah is learned than at any other time in history. They have had an ingathering of the exiles. People have come back. Jews have come back from all over the world. Jews are proud because of the State of Israel. The language of Hebrew has been revived. It is now a living language, a language which is used day in and day out, a vibrant language, a strong language, an international language which internationally has nothing to be ashamed of. It is, in fact, other languages, people who want to revive old languages or maintain their native languages have much to learn from how the State of Israel managed to revive the Hebrew language, and so on. But even so, to some degree, the Jews have done a lot. The Jews are dependent culturally and politically and economically and spiritually, even psychologically, on people from Lost Tribes of Israel. They're dependent on how America thinks, on how Britain thinks. And amongst these peoples, the British, the Americans, and some portion of the Europeans, are many from the Lost Tribes of Israel. And because they are somewhat lukewarm, they're not as enthusiastic as they should be in supporting the cause of the State of Israel. So too, the State of Israel does not manage to put forward its own cause, does not manage to promote itself, and do things for the good of its own citizens, and for reviving Jewish nationality to the degree that it could do if it was to have some type of resonance, some type of backing, some type of counter push to the liberal left wing elements that fight against it all the time. There's a Midrash, Yalkut Shimoni on the Song of Solomon, on Shir HaShirim 116. It says that the 10 tribes who were exiled beyond the Sambatian River are they whom the exile of Judah and Benjamin are destined to go unto, and to bring them back in order to merit with them the days of the Messiah and life in the world to come. We've got that there. It says the 10 tribes, in other words, the lost tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes who were exiled beyond the Sambatian River, that is, those who went to become the Scythians and the Cimmerians and later moved to the west, into Europe, are they whom the exile of Judah and Benjamin, the exile of Judah and Benjamin is referring to the modern day Jews. The core, the basic demographic core of the Jewish people today are descended from the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, together with many from Levi and representative proportions of the other tribes, but the two major tribes in amongst the Jewish people today are Judah and Benjamin. So it says that the exile of Judah and Benjamin are destined to go unto the ten tribes and to bring them back in order to merit with them the days of the Messiah. In other words, in order to bring the Messiah, the Jews will go unto those ten tribes and bring them back, as it says. And then they quote from Jeremiah 3, chapter 3, 8, verse 18. In those days the house of Judah shall go unto the house of Israel. They shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I gave for an inheritance unto their fathers. Yeah, that's what the verse is. The verse says that the house of Judah, the Jewish people, shall go unto the house of Israel. In this case, the house of Israel, when it is juxtaposed against the house of Judah, the house of Israel refers to the ten tribes of Israel, the ten tribes who were exiled. So the Jews will go unto them and they will say, come, let us go together back into the land which was promised unto our forefathers. Okay, we have this is one aspect of the return. Incidentally, we have other sources, such as the end verses of Isaiah 49, when it says, when the Jewish people see the lost ten tribes returning, they will be horrified, they will be shocked, they will say, who are these people, where did they come from? And I was alone and persecuted, and these people were around, and they didn't help me. And what is it, what's going on, and they're coming back now. So we have the two different aspects of the return. We have both things, there's no contradiction here, but both phenomena will be apparent in the end times. We have Jews going to those ten tribes and asking them to return, and we'll have other Jews who will be reserved about it because they don't understand it, and it's hard for them to reconcile it with their past experiences. This is natural. And we see here that the Jews will go unto the ten tribes and bring them back. And we are Jewish in principle. We are Orthodox Jews in Jerusalem. We believe in the lost ten tribes. We believe that the lost ten tribes are in the Western countries. And we are calling to them. We're not calling to them to come back to the land of Israel because the time is not yet ready for it. But we are, as if to say, preparing the way. We are telling them who they are. We are telling them to be aware of who they are, to learn about it, and to internalize this information, and also to help spread the word to their brothers, to their fellow Israelites, to the members of their family and kin and their neighbors, and to enable us to do so, to help us through financial contributions, through moral support, and through what is most important of all, learning these sources, learning these works that we are giving out unto you. This is more important than anything else, and this is what we'd ask you to do. And to make allowances for our weaknesses, for inadequacies of expression, we're doing the best we can, and this is what must be done. Getting back to the point we were talking about before, that Judah would prepare a harvest for the lost ten tribes when they return. But Judah also needs input, it needs the feedback of the lost ten tribes. Judah needs that America and Britain and the northern countries to support it. Judah needs to be able to be encouraged to settle the West Bank, to put as many Jews there as possible, to build up a country, to build it up, to develop it, even to think in the direction of rebuilding the Third Temple. All this needs to be done. And no one lives in a vacuum. If the Jews, who not all of whom are religious, not all of whom are attuned in this way, see that all the world is against them, that going in this direction is only going to arouse antagonism and opposition and hostility, so they're going to back down. They themselves are going to get cold feet. They're not going to think in this direction. They're going to think in a different direction. They're only human. That's the way human beings work. So, but if Americans would be more encouraging, especially the American establishment, the American government, people, important Americans who have influence in the media, in any way whatsoever, to encourage Jews to go more in this direction of developing all over the land of Israel, of rehabilitating the country, of looking after it in an ecological sense as one whole land which needs to be looked after, not just the sections of it, of developing it, of putting Jews in the West Bank, in Judah and Samaria and anywhere else, and in the Golan, and building it up so the Jews would do more in this direction. And this God wants this to be done. This is the will of the Almighty, so anyone who does this and encourages this is doing a good deed and surely will be rewarded in heaven. Thank you very much. This is Yair Davidi, signing off from New Bambi, Bit and Broadcasting Israel. We've been speaking to you on behalf of Radio 101.9, Kosher Radio around the world. Thank you.